Triumphant Happiness. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with Instant Illumination. Triumphant Happiness. What is triumphant happiness? Can we all experience triumphant happiness one way or another in our lives? Can we all know triumphant happiness? What a grand and glorious phrase that is. And what is triumphant happiness? It is where we have achieved a goal that we were seeking, maybe knowledgeably or unconsciously, but we were seeking the goal and we arrived there. I was talking with a lady the other day, and we were discussing some of the problems that she was having in getting along with old age. And getting along with a body that was not acting like it should, and getting along with a mental attitude that was kind of difficult to get along with. And we had quite a good talk about it. And as we were discussing it, we were discussing the idea of, first we started with the mental attitude. And I said, now, are you intelligent? Oh, yes. Are you mentally stable? Do you have a mind that can do the various things you want to do, and can you do them if you wish? Oh, yes, yes, I'm a very responsible person. I can take over all the things that I want to do. All right. If you have this ability, then now we are not talking about someone who is mentally incompetent or someone who has not the ability at the moment to handle something for emotional reasons or physical reasons or whatever the reasons may be. We're not talking about a person like that. We're talking about a person who has standard competence to accomplish anything they'd like to accomplish in life. Standard competence, that's kind of an interesting term in itself, isn't it? Standard accomplishment, standard ability to do whatever. Okay, now, then we went on to talk about the physical experience that she was having, and how her physical body was demanding different attentions, and how her physical body was demanding that she has a cane, or that she has a walker. The physical body demanded that she have oxygen. Physical body demanded that she have all sorts of pills that are necessary. The physical body demanded that she has all sorts of help from various agencies to keep her body in harmonious operation. And she admitted that, yes, that was the case, but mentally that should not be the case. And I said, well, that's probably very true. However, if you're going to spend all of your time thinking about the pills you should have, the mental help, the help that you should have from agencies, the crutches, the cane, the walker, and all the other things that you have, as you concentrate on these, as you empower these, they become more and more necessary in your everyday life. And when they become necessary in your everyday life, then you have to have them. You have to have them, or else you cannot survive. You cannot live. You cannot walk. You cannot move around. You cannot do the things you have to do. Oh, she knew every single pill that was necessary to take. She knew every single thing that the doctors wanted her to do. She knew what her oxygen level should be. She knew what her oxygen level should be with a fingertip holder. She knew all of these things. She knew what her blood pressure should be. All these things. And again and again and again, daily, several times a day, maybe more often than we know, she checked these things out to see if she was still alive. Well, what do people usually do to check to see if they're alive? They get up in the morning. They jump out of bed. Maybe not jump out of bed, they get out of bed. And they clean up for the day. And then they make ready for the day. They make sure they get time in to walk around, to exercise themselves a little bit. They participate in the day's activities, whatever they may be. And if they have no day's activities, they create day's activities for themselves. And when they do that, then their life becomes much more meaningful. And then we talked about another avenue. We talked about how it is getting along with the people that she has to work with. The people included her family, the people included her associates, the people included the people who were hired to come and work with her on various things. It included all of these people, and it included, naturally, foremost, the doctor. What does the doctor have to say about all this? Well, now, unfortunately, this lady was not very sincere, and she did not pay attention to what the doctor said. And she didn't pay attention to what the doctor said, it's true. Because I know what the doctor said. And what the doctor said to her was, you have a strong body. You have good blood pressure. You have good heart pressure. You have good oxygen level. You have all these things. Now, if you're going to go around pretending that you need these things, we'll supply them for you. We'll recommend them for you. And then you'll have that, and that'll be another little aspect of your life that'll cause you to be beholden to an outside agency. And when the people in her life offered to help her and offered to make suggestions for having her life be more comfortable and more communicative, at that time, because she was so frustrated in having these things happening in her life, where she had never had this known before, only a few years before, she just was rattled and she was unhappy about it. And then I told her, now just let's pretend. She says, I can't lie. I said, you're not lying. Let's pretend. Let's pretend that your body is in perfect health. Oh, I'd like that. Let's pretend that you don't have any need for pills or for pharmaceuticals of any kind. You don't have need for a walker or a cane. You don't have a need for oxygen. You don't have a need for any of these things. Oh, I'd like that very much. And let's just pretend that you don't have any need for any services by anybody. You don't have a need for a doctor. Oh, but if I didn't have a doctor, I wouldn't know what's wrong and how to work on it. Now, haven't you just said a very wonderful, beautiful thing? I wouldn't know what's wrong and how to work on it. We, with our newspapers and with our reports and with our things, have built up such a condition of medical skullduggery that over the years, the need for doctors, the need for medicine, the need for these things has escalated beyond imagination. And while it's true, many things that were not taken care of years ago are now being taken care of to a degree, but they have been built out of shape. They have been built totally out of reality. What is one of the greatest complaints that people have about the medical profession? They say the doctors no longer have time to make house calls. They no longer have time to have a bedside manner. They have no longer have time to hold the patient's hand and say, there, there, come on now, we'll work this out. Let's just change our mental attitude. Let's change our way of thinking and get up and get moving and show ourselves that we can really do this. We hear reports of people who are up in their 90s and 100 years old. And some of them are active. Most of them, in fact, are active. They're active doing whatever they want to do. They're riding on their tricycle, or they're doing this, or they're doing that. And they're very active. They are involved in living. And so I told this lady, I said, now, let's get you involved in living. Let's see if we can not necessarily put aside the walker, put aside the cane, put aside the pills, and put aside the need for the doctors and these agencies, not necessarily putting aside, but having no need for them, by feeling good, by being able to do all these things that you're helped to do by yourself, by doing them because you do have a strong body, you do have a strong mind, you do have a strong capacity to do anything. You have the ability to be triumphantly happy. And you'll only be triumphantly happy when you take the responsibility yourself to live your life as nobly, gloriously, and wonderfully as only you can do. And truly, as only you can do. This person went to the doctor, and the doctor says, your blood pressure is normal, your oxygen is normal, all these things are normal, but if you think you need them, we'll take care of it. Because the doctors don't fight the patients. They don't say, now, you say to yourself, I'm home perked, I'm home perked, I'm home perked. And if the patients did that, the patients would be whole and perfect, and then it would be done. But the doctors don't do that because the world has grown into a rather unhappy situation of suing people for making remarks. And when the doctor tells the patient, you're whole and perfect, and the patient says, I am not, I got this and I got that, and I'm going to get insurance, and I'm going to get this and to cover that, and you see, they want it. They want the malady. They want the problem. We all do. We all suffer under that same Aegeus. I went into the doctor the other day, and I said to the doctor, you know, I had a little pain, and then I said to myself, no, I will not have that pain. I'm whole and perfect. I'm whole and perfect. And I walked around whole and perfect without that pain, and it has not come back. I have taken charge because I was sick of doing anything else. And I did not want to do anything else. And it went away and stayed away. And the doctor said to me, you are one of the very few who can do that. Most people cannot speak their word and have happen what they want to have happen in their life. And I didn't say to the doctor, but truly, the reason for this is there's no one there to train them. There's no one there to train us to be triumphantly happy. There's no one there to train us to believe in ourselves, to believe that we do have an ideal spirit, mind, and body that was with us from the beginning of all. And that original purity and integrity that we did have and do have is ours, but we must lay claim to it and demonstrate it in our life, be triumphantly happy with it. And as we are, then those things can all be set aside. Those things can all be put aside and no longer be made important in our world. It's up to you and me what we want to do with our life. It's up to us how we want to live our life. Now, I talked to this lady, and she had all of this information, and she knew that she was wonderful, she knew she was fantastic. The doctors gave her the reports, and I gave her the reports, and she gave herself the reports, and still, she wanted to feel sorry for herself. She wanted to feel that the world was putting her down, and she was putting herself down. And then, when I was in Switzerland going around with some of my students there, their work with the elderly people there brought me in contact with them. And as I came in contact with them, when I got these people talking about happiness, talking about joy, talking about wholeness, talking about peace, talking about putting principle into motion in their life, way they sprung into action with joy and a triumphant happiness in each one of them. And then the minute I left, the wellspring, the source of their happiness, my conversation with them ceased to take place. They should have taped it. They should have taped it and listened to it every minute because this is what they believed, if for only a moment. And then they went back, and the triumphant happiness that they experienced for a moment ceased to be. It's still there for all of us. Triumphal happiness is still there for all of us. If we want that triumphant happiness, then we do that which is necessary to bring it about. We say, I like me. I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body, and mean those things. We don't have to believe it, just mean it. We can just say it with our confidence, with our belief, with our assuredness that it is so. And as we do that, we find that our life is wonderful. We are risen from that low level of not feeling so good, of not being so good, and not enjoying life as we can, to a triumphant happiness that never ends. But it means that every day we put that cause in motion. Every day we call forth the truth about us. Every day we listen to the divine within us and recognize that the divine within us is our reality. And if we would move a little bit, our bodies would stimulate the oxygen we need, and we wouldn't have to put outside oxygen. If we would move a little bit, we would find that the reading in our fingertip of the oxygen in our body is exquisite. If we would have the confidence in ourselves and say, I am whole and perfect, I like me, we'd have that triumphant happiness about us that is the healing balm, returning us to our original purity and integrity, leaving us not on the doorstep of happiness, but in the household of wholeness and right action forevermore. Join with me in this recognition. Join with me in following through on this. My friends all over the world to whom I speak these words, many follow them and enjoy the results. And my friend that I spoke to yesterday said, yes, that's what I want, triumphant happiness. Yes, but I can't lie to myself. Well, that's called playing the game. And if you will play the game, recognizing your reality, even when the appearance would belie it, but when you could recognize your reality, play that game, then that reality is your triumphant happiness of wholeness, goodness, living in bliss in the now. Join me in this reality, in this bliss, in this allness, for that's all that remains. And know that I love you. I love you. I love you.